Hello and welcome to the media outreach of Faith Alive Ministries. For over 30 years, Faith Alive Ministries has continued to answer the call to teach God's people how to live in this world. This charismatic teaching ministry has current bases of operation in both Oklahoma and Arizona. We are honored to share the gospel in the Northeastern Oklahoma prison system, as well as in church gatherings and evangelistic outreaches around the country. We believe the message you're about to hear will inspire and encourage you and empower you to live the abundant life God has for you. Join with us now as we receive from the Word of God.
I'll be reading the 23rd Psalm in the King James. If you have it in the King James, follow along with me. If you're some other version, and you can read out loud if you've got the King James, but to avoid confusion, if you have some other version, just follow. And I want us to look at some things that God says here that many times, because this particular psalm has been so familiar to us, that we have, shall we say, lost the message because it has been so familiar. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, show us your word this morning. Teach us from this word the way we should go. Let us see your commandments, your holy writ that is to be inscribed upon our heart. And as your word has said, your promise is that you will write your word upon our heart, your commandments, your prophecies, your exceeding great and precious promises. And through these words, you would be our God, and we will be your people. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise God. A lot of what we see in the 23rd Psalm is very familiar, and some of these things you will know, but I believe that we'll see some things in here that you may never have considered to be in this particular psalm. This psalm has many times been used in funerals. If you don't hear it read at the funeral, you'll probably see it printed on the back of the program for the funeral. It seems to be standard issue for every funeral home that the 23rd Psalm is on the back at least, and many times it's read, and it's become very associated with funerals. But this is a psalm of life. This is a psalm of great victory. It's a psalm of teaching us what God has for us. It starts out, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, I don't know, maybe you or some of you were like me when I first learned this psalm in Sunday school when I was probably preschool. When I read that, I thought, "The Lord is my shepherd, I don't want him." And you know, that seems to be where a lot of the people in the world are. But the fact is, we have need of a shepherd. We have need of someone to take care of us. We have need of someone that can go beyond what we're able to do. There are many things that we have in this world that we face that in and of our own power we're unable to face. There's many things that destroy our lives that come our way that if we don't have a shepherd, we would crumble and we would fall. And the Word of God says and makes a promise here that the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, the Creator of the universe, the Most High God, He's known by many names throughout the Scripture. In this particular case, the word there translated from the Hebrew is where we get the name Jehovah. It's believed to be because the Jewish people did not use the name because they considered it holy. yet God gave it to him to use. The 91st Psalm says, because he has known my name, I will set him on high. So David uses in this psalm, he says, Yahweh, the Lord, the one above all other gods, the one most supreme, the creator, not just the creator, but the one that is above all other gods. And you see, God never denies the existence of other gods. He just says he is the most high God. Other gods, there's other spirits that set themselves up as God, and we are not to worship them. We're not to bow down before any of them. But we have things we set up as God before us. Many times we worship our job. How many people today, and I understand certain professions. I understand nursing profession because my wife is a registered nurse. I understand that. I understand medical professions. Yes, there has to be a time that even though we have church services going on, and even though we've called this day holy unto the Lord, and we've gathered ourselves together to worship him, they have to perform duties in service to humanity. But how many other jobs are there that we put above the worship of the Creator, above the worship of our Lord? How many other jobs? How many times, I mean, some of you will go out to eat afterwards. Since we don't happen to have a carry-in today, many of you will go maybe into town, into restaurants. How many of those waitresses and waiters that will serve you at that point, how many of those clerks at the fast food, if that's the way you go, were told that if you don't come to work on Sunday, you can't have a job here? Who is your God? But that God that is more than enough, that God that is greater than all others, the God that is above everything else, is my shepherd. He is your shepherd. He's the one that watches over me. He's the one that keeps me. He's the one that sustains me. He's the one that makes sure that my every need, my every want is fulfilled. Now, we talk about the my God meets your needs according to his riches and glory, and I've heard it said many times that it says, well, he's promised to meet your needs and not all your desires. Well, that's true, yes and no. The fact is, the word says that he will give us the desires of our heart, which has a double-edged meaning, because you know the Hebrew says that the word is a double-edged sword that cuts both ways. He will give us the desires of our heart. He will take away those things that we're lusting for that we ought not. And he will put in us his desires. And quite frankly, his desires, when you begin to find the scripture, his desires are greater than we can ask or think. The word of God says he'll give you beyond all that you can ask or think. His desires are greater and more magnificent than anything we've ever dreamed we could have. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's going to take care of everything that I need, everything that I want, everything that pertains. The Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter, he says that there are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of his divine nature. And it says about those exceeding great and precious promises, in 1 Peter, he talks about it and says that it's given to us through the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Savior, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things. Now, how many of us are setting way below God's standard right there? You see, folks, I'm convinced, the Lord has convicted me in my heart, and I'm not trying to put this off on you, but I want you to consider it. He read Romans 3:23 to me. And though I have been living for God and preaching the gospel for over 28 years now, he said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I thought, where have I sinned, Lord? I haven't committed any adultery. I haven't even had thoughts of adultery. I mean, I've got the best woman in the face of the earth. God gave me the best wife that there is. Now, some of you guys may argue with me, and if you don't, then I'll pray for you because you may get slapped when you get home. You know, but I have no reason. God's met my needs, as you can tell. My bubble is securely in the middle. I've had plenty to eat. He's taking care of me. Where have I come short? What? I haven't stolen. I haven't lied. I mean, where have I come short? Well, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, I'm not living up to the standards that he wants. Because he wants, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. He wants more glory in his people. He wants more power in his people. And he has done many things. Jesus Christ baptizes with power. He wants power. He wants glory. He wants authority in his people. And that's one of the things that we've got to understand. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We've come short. We need to come up higher. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures and leadeth me to beside still waters. That's promises of complete provision. No matter where you're going, no matter what you're doing, he maketh you to lie down in green pastures. He takes you where the good life is. What do you think the good life? Well, now, folks, good life is not what we sometimes think. The Apostle Paul, he went through shipwrecks. He went through being beaten. He went through stoning. He went through many what we call hard things. But because he was where the good life, because his shepherd was making him to lie down in green pastures, he calls these things, these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, worketh in me a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Well, we look not at those things which are seen, but those things which are not seen. He takes care of us. And he leadeth me beside the still waters. He calms the waters when they get rough. He leadeth me where he knows is best for me. It may look rough to you. Debbie and I were talking. There's some things that we've been into those last 2 years now that we think, you know, this makes no sense to man. But God is taking care of us. And I don't want to brag about myself, but just to say that, you know, I left a very secure job. I had a secure future. And because God kept tugging at my heart to go do something else, I left a secure job. And the year I left, I had our best financial year ever with no job. So that's just, you figure God out that way. He restoreth my soul. Those that have been hurt, those that have been injured, those that have received wounds. Many of you have that. Many of you, it may be a wound. It may be a lost loved one. It may be somebody that's out in the world that is just tearing your heart out. Maybe you've had a death in the family and you don't even know whether that person had received Jesus to make it into glory, into heaven. Maybe it's been a loss in a job. Maybe it's been a failure. I cannot say what it is, but these things are weariness and heaviness to the bone. The Bible says that the worry, the heaviness, that we're supposed to walk in joy, but it says these troubles come to be a weariness and to weaken us. The book of Proverbs has several scriptures talking about this. But God restoreth my soul. And he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, not for my sake, but for his sake. See, folks, one of the things he wants us to do, he says, let your light so shine before men. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Oh, I don't want to do my works before anybody. I don't want anybody to know. No, God wants to work his glory through you. Now, I'm not talking about, there are good things, pure religion and undefiled is that we visit the homeless, we feed and clothe those that can't care for themselves, we take care of the fatherless and widow. James talks about that, Peter talks about that, we find those things in there. But the works that God wants to do, he wants to begin to work through us, things that there's no explanation for. How do you have joy in the midst of all this sorrow? How do you have victory when everybody else is failing? How come you're the one that doesn't get laid off when there's a massive layoff at the job? How come you're the one that still is secure? And many things. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I don't walk in the paths of righteousness all the time, I miss it. It says, my righteousness is of God, saith the Lord. We confessed our sins this morning. He forgives us our sins, and Jesus Christ became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There's several other things I want to show you here, so I'm rushing through this, but I really want you to understand the progression, because in this psalm is a progression of your life the way it's supposed to be. Many of us have got stuck in those first three verses. We've been stuck and never changing, but there's a transformation that begins in verse 4. First three verses, we are the sheep of his pasture. And you always will be in some aspect as long as you follow Jesus Christ, the sheep of his pasture, because he is the shepherd. John 10 talks about, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep, and they that love me will follow me. They will know my voice. But in verse 4 it begins, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Folks, there begins to be an awareness here that God has something beyond. For sheep basically have no fear. I am told that they are one of the dumbest creatures on the face of the earth. They don't know that they're supposed to fear anything. That's why they have to have a shepherd. Well, if they're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's becoming an awareness that God is doing something. And folks, this is not a idle threat. You may have heard that somebody says, well, the shadow never hurt anybody. But folks, if death is close enough to cast his shadow over you, death is close. You don't have an enemy that's way far away that can cast a shadow. If they're on the other side of the world, they're not going to be casting any shadow. They got to be close enough to cast the shadow. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou God, art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You can know that no matter what you're going through, no matter what trial you're going through, even if it's right up next to death, that God is with you. His rod. He is taking care of you. He is fighting off the enemy. He is protecting you. He is guarding your heart. He is guiding you. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Then in verse 5, an amazing transformation comes. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And let me say this about the first part. Folks, this is not in heaven. I've heard it preached. But there's no enemies in heaven. This is right here on the earth. God is setting a table before you. God is preparing the table. He's putting out the best feast that you may eat. He's preparing it right in front of your enemies so that the enemies look, and another scripture says they're going to look upon you and they're going to gnash with their teeth. That doesn't mean they're going to hurt you, but it's just going to upset them so much that how can they, when they claim to live for God and they're not doing everything, how can they have such provision? How can God take such good care of them? And many will come to God because of a witness like that. But also another thing that I want you to understand. I would challenge you real quickly. Show me a sheep that eats their meals at a table. Show me the sheep of the pasture that comes to the table and sets down at a table to eat. God has taken the sheep and transformed them to a man. There's a growing up. We start out as sheep of the pasture, but then we're supposed to progress to grow up. And as we grow, God no longer always leads us in the green pastures, but he still takes care of us. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And then the next step after he begins to do that, thou anointest my head with oil. That's a sign of initiating him into royalty. For David knew what he was talking about here. For Samuel came to him and began to go through the sons of Jesse and didn't find the first one, didn't find the second one, went all the way through the seven and didn't find one. And God, he knew God said, you're going to go to the house of Jesse and you're going to anoint the next king. And he didn't find him. And he looks at Jesse and he says, don't you have any more? And Jesse says, yeah, I got one that's out with the sheep. You know, we don't hardly claim him, but he's out there. He says, Samuel says, bring him hither. Bring him to me. And when he came in, Samuel's heart leapt. This is the one. This is the Lord's anointed. And as an act to show that David was called to be king, Samuel takes the cruse of oil and pours it over David's head. Now, this is not anointing like we a lot of sometimes do in our churches. I know that my mother-in-law was here, and she would anoint now and then, and I appreciate that, but we just kind of dab it on. I mean, this was, you poured it over, and the oil ran down his hair and down his beard and soaked his clothes as a sign. You're called to be king. And he's saying to us, thou anointest my head with oil. The shepherd, the magnificent God, pours the oil. And he's called, and Jesus has said in the book of Revelations, he says he's called you as kings and priests unto our God and unto his Christ, Jesus. So we transform then from the sheep of his pasture to people that stand in his presence. To people that are called to go into his presence, into the very throne room of God. For Hebrews tells us, let us come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find help in a time of need. And as he anoints you, he's called you as a sheep, he's moved you as a person, he's anointed you as king. And then it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Folks, you're never alone. You have a bodyguard. I realized the other day, this little while back, that I never go anywhere alone. I sometimes get off on my motorcycle and ride out. I've like a habit of going out kind of alone. That's where I get some good prayer time. You know, the bike's loud enough that if there's other noises around, I don't hear it. That's part of the reason I drive a Harley, because it's loud. But I don't hear these things, and I can really begin to hear God. And I begin to realize that, hey, on my Harley's riding at least six. Or maybe there's a couple of us there. But see, you're always following the shepherd. You're always following Jesus Christ. That's the shepherd in you. If you're walking where you're supposed to be, we are to follow the Lord. So you're following Jesus. That's you and Jesus. That's two. But then the Bible says your angels are always guarding you, and they move. And I know that I've experienced, God has revealed to me at least a couple of the angels a couple times. You know, one time I got so lost in the things of God that I couldn't drive. And the person that was driving was kind of under the influence as well of the Holy Spirit. And we just prayed, Lord, get us home. I actually prayed, said, Lord, you send your angels, get us home. And she saw. I didn't see it, but the lady that was driving for us saw the angels grab each side of the car and just keep it on the road. So there's two there. And then goodness and mercy. So if you're following Jesus and you've got a couple of angels, and everybody's been given angels to guard him, there's guardian angels. That is biblical. And then goodness and mercy. You're never alone. Goodness is always with you. So even when you think that all of earth is against you, goodness and mercy are following you. They're right there with you. They're right there. They're seated in those seats with you today. Goodness and mercy. You think, well, everybody's deserted me. No, goodness and mercy are following you all the days of your life. And then David ends the psalm. And it's such a magnificent statement to me. That though I've followed Jesus all the days of my life, and though I have the angels and goodness and mercy, he says, I'm not going to wait to dwell in the house of the Lord all in forever. I'm not going to do that someday when I pass. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Today, you're dwelling. You're to be dwelling. The purpose of David doing this, the purpose of David saying this, is so that we can see what we've got. For folks, so many times, if you don't know what you've been given, if you don't understand what God has provided, you see, I referred to Peter, 2 Peter, that he talks about that it's been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of his divine nature. If you don't understand those, if you're not aware of them, then Hosea 4:6 is in effect. that God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. God is wanting you to understand who you are and what you've been called. And that's why the purpose of the book. It's not just a bunch of rules. It's to open our eyes to what God has done. And for that reason, I bring you the 23rd Psalm this morning. That prayerfully, yes, I hope, but faith is the substance of things hoped for. I pray that you'll understand who God has called you to be, what he's called you to do, and you will make an effort. You will join me, you will join others. Say, I'm not going to come short of God's glory anymore. No, I haven't walked in it, but I do have a promise that he says, as I see these things, I hope, behold his glory, and each day his glory, I don't do it, but each day that I behold his glory changes me into that image. Till someday, when the Lord comes and we see him, we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him. Praise God. God bless you.
That concludes our message. This message is copyrighted by Faith Alive Ministries and may not be reproduced for commercial or resale purposes. Duplication by individuals for the purpose of sharing the gospel is permitted. However, this copyright notice must accompany all copies made. For additional information and teaching resources, please write to Faith Alive Ministries, P.O. Box 321, Pryor, Oklahoma, 74362. Or you may visit our website at www.faithalivefellowship.net. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.